I felt called out, so I felt defensive. When I'm really honest, I felt, wait, we weren't even having this conversation with you. Like, why are you inserting yourself in the conversation?
Hey there, I'm Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a podcast about sticking with moments that challenge us. We share the stories of real people in moments that challenge their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down, they stuck with the discomfort. They stayed curious and open, and they're glad they did. We hope these stories inspire you to stick with it too, because there is so much to gain. New empathy, deeper relationships, more clarity about our own views. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Here's a story about having your intentions called into question. I'm joined by Christine Saxman. She's an author, facilitator, coach, and consultant with over 20 years of experience on the topic of race. She is co-author of a new book called Being White Today. Christine, welcome. It's so great to have you on Uncomfy.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So this entire topic makes a lot of us uncomfy. And you are a white woman speaking to other white people in your workshops and in this new book. So what is your message? What is at the heart of what you're telling people?
Well, I think it's kind of perfect that I'm on Uncomfy because we want to help white people recognize that being uncomfortable is part of the process in talking about race and racism, to help people understand that that uncomfortableness is okay. and we have a path to navigate it. And there is a way to be white and to be healthy and positive.
So you're going to tell us a story about an opportunity you had to practice this, to learn some of these skills. And the stick with it story you're going to share with us here at the start takes place at a conference mm-hmm. of the name The White Privilege Conference, which is a term that already elicits a pretty emotional response from a lot of people with white skin in particular. Why were you there? And was this your first time? Sort of give us the sense as to where you were in your journey when you showed up at the White Privilege Conference.
Sure. Yes. And absolutely. I do want to acknowledge that for some people listening, white privilege might already put you in a place of, uh-oh, this is meant to just make me feel bad about being white. In their own stories, they may not feel a lot of privilege about being white, and that's okay. And that is part of actually what the White Privilege Conference is meant to help people explore. And so I was there because I was a high school teacher, and I was there to explore my own white identity because I wanted to be a better practitioner in my classroom, not just with my students of color, but with white students as well. And
what were you teaching? What kind of high school teacher? What was your subject?
English. I was an English teacher.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I had been working with SEED, which is Seeking Educational Equity and Diversity. It's an organization that helps teachers think about their own positionality in the classroom to realize that we've all learned about our own identities, and which is makes sense. Like, we are who we teach because right. we grow up learning the lessons of who we are. And that's, again, there's nothing wrong with that. And we have to realize not everyone had the same experiences that we had. So for myself, as a white woman growing up in Eastern Pennsylvania, that there's a particular way that I learned how to be in the world. And again, nothing wrong with that. And I didn't want to assume that everyone had the same experiences that I had in the way that I taught. And so part of that experience with SEED helped bring me to the White Privilege Conference to learn more about that.
Okay. This was your first time attending this conference?
First time there. So I was sitting at the bar after a long day of workshops and thinking about everything that I'd learned. And I was sharing with another white woman. And was probably in a very intellectual space about what I had learned and how I was thinking about being an ally back at my school. And I was, you know, probably feeling pretty good about what I'd learned and talking about it in that way. And there was a black man who had been sitting next to us, and he just turned to me at one point in the pause in our conversation. He said, "I don't believe a word that's coming out of your mouth." Whew. And even now, in retelling the story many years later, I just remember having that moment of, oh my gosh, I felt called out. So I felt defensive. When I'm really honest, I felt, wait, we weren't even having this conversation with you. Like, why are you inserting yourself in our conversation? So part of me kind of wanted to fight. And I'd had enough work with Seed. I'd learned from a man named Le Mounois, who does mindful facilitation. And so I took that breath, as I took that breath even in telling the story, and I said, internal monologue, don't come defensive. Don't try to explain yourself. You are here at this place to learn about yourself. So just say, tell me more about what you mean when you say you don't believe a word I'm saying.
And in asking that question, what was your intent? What was your hope?
Well, one, it gave me some space to regulate so that I could listen, to be honest. And then I didn't know what I was going to find out. So I just wanted to know. I didn't know what he didn't believe about what I was saying. I really didn't. And so in listening to him, he kept asking, what are you doing? I don't want to hear about your theory. I don't want to hear about your models. I want to know what you're actually doing to end racism in your school. And when I was talking about it, I kept using the word trying. Well, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. And it was like, I was getting a response to that that was not a good response. I could feel the energy from him. And he finally said to me, I don't need you to try. I need you to do. And that was one of those for me where I was like, oh, my intent with the word trying was to be humble. And the impact was I wanted credit for something that I wasn't really doing. And that for cross-racial relationship with this one man, you know, Black people aren't a monolith and like every relationship is every relationship. It just made me think about how I'm showing up in cross-racial relationship and how I'm showing up as a white woman doing racial equity, racial justice work. And so I was like, okay, I don't need to say the word try. I can just do. And then I can get feedback again and be okay with the feedback, but I can drop the trying. And it's given me a gift again, again, and again to ask the tell me more and be curious and be empathetic. I actually, my ringtone to this day for my messages is Yoda saying, do or do not, there is no try. And it's just a little reminder of, you know, just be the person that I want to be. And that's what I do.
Christine, thank you for sharing that story. So much running through my mind as I think through the lessons there. And this certainly applies in any conversation, in any situation where we feel like we're on the defensive, like we're being attacked or nobody likes to feel like our good efforts, our intentions are being questioned. I think speaking as a white woman, you know, it feels a little like walking on eggshells, particularly when we're speaking with people of color about these issues. And it feels safer sometimes to not go there. What is the starting place then for people who feel a little bit like all this does is further divide us? And this feels like an unfair burden that's been placed on me.
Well, I think that one, it's true that often we haven't had a lot of practice. Yeah. And so it can feel like an unfair burden. And I think that it's okay for us as white folks to talk with each other about that. And that feeling of an unfair burden will impact our ability to have our cross-race relationships. Because if we're not able to lean into that discomfort, and talk about race cross-racially, that's what makes more of a divide. And that's what I try to help white folks understand is folks of color will actually take a further step away from us if they think that we're unwilling or unable to like kind of step in it, like step on the eggshells and then like realize that like, you're gonna be okay if you crack some eggshells. like I cracked some eggshells in that conversation and I ended up okay. And we can support each other in that. That's the other big thing that I like to talk about is like, we don't have to be alone in this. We can be with each other. I had some white folks to go back and process with and be like, oh, I mean, it still hurt. And I learned so much from it. And I had people to like be with me in that. And so I want to say to folks who feel like, you know, I'm afraid or it's unfair is like, yes, like racism is unfair to us too. Cause like we lost some skills. We lost some skills as white folks. And the good news is we can get them back.
So what is your hope with this book?
Our hope is genuinely that white folks will have less fear and less worry in having conversations about race with each other, with people of color, and that they'll feel more confident in working towards a healthy multiracial democracy. We don't want white folks to feel afraid. We don't want white folks to feel like they want to retrench into segregated spaces, which many white folks grew up in. We want them to lean into moving into that healthy multiracial democracy and into a positive racial identity. That's, you know, that's what we know it exists. And so we want to share it with other white people.
What is the primary challenge that you think faces us in getting to that place right now?
Well, I think one of the things, and I think this is one of the pieces of our book that makes it sometimes a challenge for folks is the nuance of what we're offering, because our society right now and the polarization is so either or. It's either this or that. And what we're offering is both and thinking, is that often we have to think about how do we embrace the complex ideas at the same time? And so how do we both embrace a critique of critical race theory and that some of the tenets are actually very helpful? How do we embrace a critique of DEI and that diversity, inclusion, and belonging are very important? That we don't have to throw out DEI while questioning that like the ways that it's been implemented might need to be improved. And I think that nuance in what part of what we're offering from the book isn't always embraced in an either or. And I think that's part of what you're offering with Uncomfy is that's part of being curious and showing up in a different way. We have to embrace the both and more and not fall prey to the ease of an either or.
Christine Saxman is a racial equity facilitator and co-author with Shelley Tuchla of Being White Today, a roadmap for a positive anti-racist life. Christine, it has been such a pleasure. Thank you for your thoughtful insights. I really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much, Julie. I really enjoyed our conversation.
And thank you for getting uncomfy with us today. I know that was probably pretty uncomfortable at points for you. I know that it was for me. And I wanted to point out the mindful breathing that she referenced as having been really helpful to her in taking a breath to sort of calm her nerves and make a little bit of space. Mindful breathing is something that I've also actually found really, really useful. I don't know if you've heard of box breaths, but they are great for allowing you to just take a moment of space, calm your nervous system, and be able to open yourself up just a little bit to curiosity. So the ideal is it's 4x4x4x4, so it's a box, right? So you inhale for 4 seconds, you hold that breath for 4 seconds, you exhale slowly for 4 seconds, and then you pause for 4 seconds, and then you inhale again for 4 seconds, and you do that a couple of times. What works for you? I'd love to hear about an uncomfy stick with it moment you've had recently. You can drop a line to uncomfy@byu.edu. And be sure to check out my other podcast, Top of Mind, where we explore tough topics like race in ways that can practice this, practice staying open and curious when we face challenging perspectives. The episode we did not long ago about how whiteness came to hold so much meaning in America actually offered a lot of nuance and surprise that I found helpful. So I'd love to have you add Top of Mind to your queue wherever you listen to podcasts. Uncomfy is a BYU Radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it, and the team includes Enrique Prado, James Hoops, and Sam Payne. Our theme music was composed by Kelsey Ney. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. It's Julie. Hey, one quick thing to mention to you. I would love to recommend a podcast called In Good Faith. It's from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. It's hosted by Stephen Cap Perry. And this show is all about connecting with believers from various religions. On Uncomfy, we're looking to have hard conversations, and it doesn't get harder than talking about religion when you have different traditions and beliefs. And this podcast is just so cool because Stephen talks with people about their own personal faith journeys, people from all walks of life, Christians, Buddhists, Jews, Muslims, many, many more. And it's a chance to hear their stories in their own words. And I always come away with a deeper understanding both of their faith and of my own faith in listening to these conversations. Plus, Stephen's just a really well-traveled guy, so his unique global perspective adds this really great richness to every conversation. So check out In Good Faith. You can listen on all the podcast apps, and I'd love to hear what you think about it.